This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to a Thursday here in New York City. Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours. We have a ton to talk about. We will, of course, get you set for Game 5 at Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Pacers. What happened last night in Anaheim may change everything for the New York Yankees moving forward. We'll get to that. And Juan Soto is a mess. More analyzation on how he's going to turn his season around. But, you know, Tiki, we know that something obvious is on the line tonight, the Knicks' season. That's obvious. They lose tonight, the season's over.
Yes.
We all get that. I think the other thing that's on the line tonight is if they lose this game, a Game 5 at Madison Square Garden to the Indiana Pacers, a team they were favored to beat, yes, in a round further than they went last year, I don't know how you could look at this season as anything other than a colossal disappointment. And that's crazy to think coming into the year because getting to the Eastern Conference Finals would have qualified as a great success. But if they lose in 5 at home to the Indiana Pacers, I think we're all coming in here tomorrow. I think we're all spending the weekend and spending the offseason bemoaning what was a disaster.
Yeah, it all changed when they beat the Boston Celtics, a team that nobody thought they were going to beat. I mean, I had them losing in 5, maybe 6. I can't remember, whatever it was. We didn't think that they were good enough to beat the Celtics, and then they did. And all of a sudden, the expectation shifted. It shifted to, all right, well, we were stuck at the second round. Well, maybe this team is good enough to be an NBA champion, especially because nobody else that was left, even though they had really good regular seasons, have championship pedigree. It was the Boston Celtics, and they knocked them out. And so disappointment is the right word. And I don't know how you go forward getting beat in 5 and game in the Eastern Conference Finals by the same team that knocked you out last year and then say, well, next year we'll get them. It just doesn't feel plausible. It doesn't feel like the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers or anybody else is just going to stay put and the New York Knicks are going to get significantly better a year from now. This is their window. Right? We talk about it all the time. Windows and windows in sports and football and basketball and baseball. This is the Knicks window, and it's about to close on them.
And I'm telling you, and I say this from experience, because if you think back to those that are Mets Knicks fans, you can share this. I'm obviously just a Mets fan in this regard. But when they went down 3-1 to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and we were going into game five, there was this attitude of, it's likely over. Can they come back? Sure. But it's likely over. And I remember going into game five, we were doing the show that day, we're actually on the air in the first few innings of game five, because it was a late afternoon game. And I remember thinking and saying, everything changes if they lose this game compared to winning this game. Because losing in your own building, losing in a five-game series, I don't know, it feels dirty. It kind of changes your view on the season. Yeah. If you win the game and at least you force a sixth game on the road, and then the celebration occurs outside of your building, outside of your stadium, and it's also a sixth game, so it feels like a tighter series, it just changes your view. And I know as a Met fan that winning that game five the way they did, it kind of eased me. It made me feel better. I was still pissed off when they lost game six, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it changed how I felt about that series. And so I believe that Knicks fans are going to kind of feel the same way, which is, look, losing sucks no matter how you cut it, but losing in five at home just feels dirty compared to losing a sixth game on the road.
Well, I hear what you're saying, because when you lose in six, it's like, all right, at least we made it a series. When you lose in five, that's the gentleman's sweep. It's like, yeah, we gave you one. Yeah, we just kind of eased off the gas on one of these games, and you guys happened to win a game they had to come back to win, by the way. And so it's not as if you'll feel anything other than we got our butts kicked if you lose in five, especially if that fifth one is at home. The energy's going to be awesome. At least I hope it's going to be awesome. What's the secondary market look like? What's the ticket situation look like?
The secondary market is still, it's very cool.
Is it tepid?
It's very tepid. But in fairness, it's still very expensive to go to this game tonight.
But again, by the way, we talked about this multiple times. That doesn't matter. Like, who cares what the secondary market is?
The arena is going to be rocking either way, too.
Right, exactly. So the point is, they're going to be rocking. You're going to have the energy on your side. And to lose it in that environment, think how depressing it's going to be to leave the Garden with a loss. If you're a Knicks fan, it's just season's over. You got months until you can even think about getting back to this point again.
Well, I tell you the difference between losing tonight and walking out of a depressed Madison Square Garden versus, let's say, winning tonight and getting this thing to a sixth game, or dare I say a seventh game. I think losing in five to a team that most Knicks fans felt they were better than coming into this series, with injuries not being a factor in derailing this series, will cause you to feel there would need to be major changes going into the offseason. Mm. And that's what's so crazy about the way this basketball season has gone. If I would have told you going into the postseason, knowing the way it was mapped out, the Knicks are going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose, we would all say Tom Thibodeau's job is safe and the core of the roster is safe. But the way things have played out, I don't think that's the truth anymore. I think if they lose this series in five, the discussions on this radio station tomorrow, the discussions on social media, the discussions in bars are going to be, there's something off about this team. There's something that needs to change about this team, as opposed to losing in seven. I think those discussions are a lot more tepid than if they lose in five.
But I think, Evan, some of it's going to depend on what it looks like. So if this is a hard-fought game, comes down to the last, let's say the last two shots of the game, and the Knicks just lose, I think what I will say, you know, let's say they play well. They don't have 17 turnovers like they did in game four. But they play relatively well, and they just lose. I'll say, you know what? We didn't give the Indiana Pacers credit. They're just better than the New York Knicks. But if they get blown out, and kind of like we saw last night with Minnesota, and it's just, all right, we gave you a game, and we just toyed with you, and we're significantly better than you, that's when you start saying, what do we have to do differently? And some of it's going to fall on the head coach, obviously, but I think a lot of it is going to fall on the players, the guys who over these last few games haven't shown great IQs and haven't been, you know, the elite stars that we think that they are on paper. And the Indiana Pacers were just better, more consistent. We talked about it yesterday. Consistency matters when you have series like this, because you're seeing the same opponent over and over and over and over again. Eventually, they figure you out. And so once they figure you out, you got to find a way to be better. And the Knicks just haven't been.
This is the fourth postseason that Tom Thibodeau has been the head coach of the New York Knicks. So in this era, we'll call it the Thibodeau-Leon Rose era, because the first one obviously was prior to Jalen Brunson being here. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth time they've been there. The first time they were there, they had home court advantage and they were favorites against the Atlanta Hawks. And that series was an unmitigated disaster. And I remember when the series ended, there were many Knicks fans. It was split, but there were many Knicks fans who said, as fun as this season was, as unexpected as it was, because who thought they were going to get the 4 seed and have home court advantage in the first round, the way it ended was so ugly and so bad that they won't think back to 2021, or 2022, I should say. 2021. Right. It was 2021. With any positivity. 2 years later, when they re-entered the postseason, they get out of the first round, which was a great success, beating Cleveland. And then when Milwaukee got upset, they're playing Miami, and Knicks fans were celebrating the idea of, oh, we're playing the Heat. We have home court advantage. We should beat that team.
Right, we're supposed to win.
Same thing happens. They lose in six. And I think most Knicks fans, despite the disappointment of losing a series they were favorites in, were just so happy. Hey, we got to the second round. We hadn't been in the second round in over a decade. Hey, that's a success. As disappointing as it was how it ended. Last year, I think the way you were able to talk yourself into, okay, it wasn't a complete disaster, were the injuries. We've heard what Tommy said. They didn't lose to the Pacers. They lost to attrition. Those championship rings are our championship rings. And I got a lot of crap from Knicks fans because when the season ended, I say, come on, guys, you got to the same place you got last time. How is this a success? You were able to rationalize because of injuries. I don't think there's any rationalizing here. Despite going to an extra round, I think losing this series, I think most Knicks fans would say no.
Well, it's because of how they've lost some of these games. Game one, obviously, it tells you everything. Game four, with the turnovers and the inefficiencies and just the constant stupid plays that just drive you crazy. What the narrative is going to be is they're just not good enough. Right, I know they have good players, but they're not good enough. They're not deep enough. And teams that have long benches and can, you know, play with a pace like the Pacers do, they're just going to always find a way in a series of 7 games to beat you. And so, what are you going to do different? And I don't even want to start thinking about that. I don't know. I know Knicks fans don't want to start thinking about that. But if they lose in Game 5 tonight, that's what you're going to have to think about. How do we get better? How do we do something different than what we did and what we thought was going to work, which is clearly not good enough?
I want to ask this question not to positive Tommy, but to honesty Tommy, okay?
Well, I don't like the way you phrase that already. You're insinuating that positive Tommy is not a man of honor. He is the man of the most honor, utmost honor.
Whatever you say. Okay. Honesty, positivity, whatever you want to call yourself, Tommy. If tonight at Madison Square Garden, things do not go the way you expect them to go, and the Indiana Pacers close out the New York Knicks and advance to the NBA Finals, and the Knicks season ends losing 4-1 to the Indiana Pacers, can you deem this season a success?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I could deem it a success But I would also be very disappointed because even though there is a window, a championship window, when you get this close, when you get to the final four teams, when you get to a conference final or a final, you got to grab the brass ring because you might not get back. And I've been here before as a Knick fan. I've been here before with other teams I root for, and you just don't know when or if you're going to get back. Is it a success? Yes. They beat the Boston Celtics, a series that only I predicted they would win, and nobody gave them a chance. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. They progressed. But as a fan, I could still say, you know what, I'm disappointed because I wanted to win that chip so badly that I could taste it when I get this close.
Mm.
You believe what he just said, Tiki? I'm kind of skeptical.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish.
I'm ishing with you on that. It's like the pause made me think you were about to say, no, this is a disaster. And then the pause was like, well, I'd be disappointed, like a father talking to their son.
But I can see where Tommy and other Knick fans are, because it's just, like, you got to feel good about how well this team played for most of the season. They finished third in the East. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's not forget, they haven't been here in 25 years. And so there is positivity, but I think the way that they have gotten themselves down in this series, 3-1, it's frustrating. And so you have to blame somebody. You just don't know who to blame. And it's really everybody, but it's like the answer or the reasoning has to be simple in your mind. And the problem is it's not simple at all.
The way I would look at this, if I'm a Knick fan, and whether it's losing tonight, whether it's losing in six or losing in seven, if I lose, the conversation I have to have with myself and the conversation we'll have on the radio is this the best of us or is the best yet to come? The Indiana Pacers last year, let's use them as an example. They won a series in part because the Knicks were ravaged by injuries. Right. Most of us would agree if the Knicks weren't ravaged by injuries, the Pacers were going to lose in the Eastern Conference semifinals last year. They did not make major changes. They got healthier. They got older. They got more experienced. And the Indiana Pacers have clearly made a jump. You saw that from January 1st on during the regular season. You've seen it in the postseason. And every Knick fan watching it with their own beautiful eyes knows, wow, they made a jump. The question you're going to have to ask yourself is, can the New York Knicks, with the same head coach Tom Thibodeau, with the same core roster, you'll make some changes, you'll improve the bench, don't get me wrong, you can make changes in this sport, but will the core and the coach grow to where the best is yet to come? And I think what's difficult is a lot of Knick fans right now are thinking, no.
Yeah,
they're thinking this is the best, and if this is the best, then you better win now.
Yeah, because the only next step you can take with this roster as it's constructed is maybe some of these guys from the bench will start getting more minutes. Maybe they'll get more trustworthy in Tom Thibodeau's mind. But when you look at it, these guys are baked, right? Jalen Brunson is baked where he is. He's a clutch, great player. Karl Anthony Towns is baked. It's not like he's 24 years old like Halliburton on the other side. Josh Hart is baked. I'm not saying they're cooked or anything. I'm just saying they're baked. Like they're well. They're right where they need to be good. And they're not good enough. And so I think that Indiana Pacer example that you gave where they were just kind of there feeling it and getting some experience and the best was still yet to come. Their best is coming now. Like we're seeing it. Whereas the Knicks, this might be the top, right? This might be the ceiling as this team is currently constructed. And that's kind of, I don't know. Like, how are you optimistic about that? That's why when I listen to Tommy, I hear him saying, you know, what he said, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, you don't really believe that.
That's why I asked for honesty, Tommy.
I know. It's like, you don't really believe that, dude.
We'll get to your phone calls, Knick fans. With losing tonight, a fifth game at Madison Square Garden to the Indiana Pacers, take this fun run and ruin it completely. We'll hear from Knick fans coming up, 888-808-1019. And one big part of this series from the outside has been the celebrities, right? The celebrities that make the trip to Indiana, the celebrities that have strong opinions on this series. Well, one celebrity has come out with a very, very strong opinion. One celebrity is pissed off about something. We'll find out who that celebrity is and what the hell they're annoyed about. One of the highlights of Game 4 was Pat McAfee cutting a professional wrestling promo on some of the New York celebrities that made the trip. If you didn't hear this yesterday, we had played it. But if you missed it, here's how it sounded when McAfee decided to, on the court in Indiana, I think it was early fourth quarter, basically cut a wrestling promo on all the Nick celebrities that made the trip.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here. Ben Stiller is here. Timothy Chalamet is here. Let's send these sons of bitches back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this
So it was pretty funny. Ben Stiller responded, I thought, in a very cool way yesterday, which we also played, him basically saying, I don't know who Pat McAfee is. I'm not familiar with his game. Well, we have a celebrity that is not happy with Pat McAfee. And that celebrity is John Mellencamp, who put out a social media post within the last hour that I would love to read to the audience. The Knicks-Pacers game has been very entertaining for anyone who likes basketball or sports. I attended Game 4 in Indianapolis. Hoosier hospitality? I was embarrassed when somebody, under whose direction I don't know, called out some of the people who had made the trip from New York to support their team, and in turn, support our team. The audience booed these people. I'd say that was not Hoosier hospitality.
No, it wasn't.
Good
for John Mellencamp.
One could only say it's poor, poor sportsmanship. I was not proud to be a Hoosier, and I've lived here my entire life. On behalf of most Hoosiers, I would like to apologize for our poor behavior. I'm sure the Pacers had nothing to do with this smackdown. John Mellencamp. So, Tiki, you like this.
Well, it didn't. So nobody knew that this was happening. Right? Sean told us this yesterday when he did a little research behind it. They just basically said, here, Pat McAfee, here's a mic.
Yes.
Go get everybody hyped.
Yes.
And he chose to be a hater.
Yes.
I'm glad he gets called out. I'm glad that John Mellencamp, who's lived in Indiana his whole life and dropped the Cougar finally. I told you, Sean, he dropped the Cougar.
He did.
But I'm glad he called out Pat McAfee. You can do that in New York. You expect that in New York. You can do that in Philly. You expect that in Philly. You don't expect that in Indiana. It's supposed to be like, I don't know, this city of welcoming, loving basketball people. And instead, they throw hate at all these great stars. Spike Lee's a legend. Timothy Chalamet might turn out to be one. Come on, don't hate on him. Just beat him. It's as simple as that.
Here's the problem with this whole thing, though, Tiki.
What?
Look, I don't love what McAfee did, but all he's doing is having fun, jacking the fans up. John Mellencamp, maybe could we get that message when the fan is outside the bar, you know, stabbing the Knicks fan after game 3 when that happened? And here's what John Mellencamp fails to understand. Great musician, idol. He comes to Madison Square Garden tonight wearing a Pacer jersey. Guess what happens on 7th Ave? Knicks fans who have bought his albums for years wouldn't urinate on him if he was on fire.
That's
and
not
here
true.
He is, Papa Thuja mentality.
That is not true. That's a collective mentality, but that is not an individual mentality.
I agree, it's collective.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in mass, people maybe. But individually, when you meet a star like that, you have nothing but reverence. I'm just telling you, it's how it is.
I think what you guys are missing is that John Mellencamp at first took a shot at McAfee, and then he directed it at Pacer fans. Because the quote is, the audience booed these people. I'd say that was not Hoosier hospitality. One could say it's poor, poor sportsmanship. I was not proud to be a Hoosier, and I've lived here my entire life. He was calling out the fans.
He should have.
Why? They were
be
having
different.
Fun, man.
Be different.
I got to side with Sean here. I think Mellencamp's being a little bit of a, you know.
No, he's not.
He's been
an Indiana Hoosier.
Well, he doesn't represent Indiana Hoosiers because the crowd ate it up.
Was Tyrese Halliburton a Hoosier mentality when he's doing the choke symbol in game 1?
Well, John Mellencamp coming to the defense of Indiana. And we'll see if
he's coming to the defense of civility.
Civility.
Is what he's doing.
Well, just not the people who live in Indiana because they're the ones who cheered. You heard that clip?
Or booed.
Well, they were booing Ben Stiller and Spike Lee. They were cheering the message. I guess what it shows you is that we all have no civility in 2025.
It shows you John Mellencamp's actually a really nice guy, and we're all pieces of garbage.
Right.
That's what I've learned here.
Tiki, I'm missing a beat, goes right.
This whole discussion has taught me John Mellencamp and Tiki Barber, good human beings. The rest of us, scum. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Alex in New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo. All's good.
I wish it was good, Tiki, but I am so depressed because I think the inevitable is about to happen, where the worst season in Knicks playoff history is about to reoccur, and I'm devastated early already. I need Tommy to talk me off the ledge.
Tommy, Alex is already very depressed. I did not expect our first caller to be in that kind of Knicks depression. He just labeled this the worst postseason in Knicks history. Tommy, perform your magic.
Alex, remind me in the audience, you were down on the Knicks last series. You didn't believe in positive Tommy. You didn't believe that they would win the series in six. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And then you called after the series to apologize to positive Tommy, which you didn't need to do, but I appreciated that. Is that also correct?
That is 100% accurate.
Okay, and then going into the series, I predicted the Knicks will win in seven. You could take it to the bank. Is that correct?
Oh, Tommy, that is correct.
Oh, okay. Okay, no buts. I'm going to act like you're my son here. No buts. They're going to win in seven. You could take it to the bank. I believe in the power of positivity, and you don't want to get off the positive Tommy bandwagon now. This is what it's all about. I never said it would be easy. I didn't say they would sweep. I said they would win in seven. So there's going to be ups and downs.
I can't argue with Tommy here. I mean, Tommy has said all of those things he described. He's been right so far. And Knicks in seven is alive. So, and I love the way you did that, Tommy. That's right out of my playbook. You forced the person on the defense to have to answer yes or no questions in which you already know the answer. And it's going to help you make your point. I am so proud of you, bro.
Well, look, if it was all easy, everyone would do it. And the bottom line is this, because I even know some season ticket holders that have sold their tickets.
I've heard that.
Let them out.
Not me.
What? Well, here's the problem with that.
Not me.
When you do that as a, and I hate calling out people because you know what? It's a lot of money. So I don't want to like necessarily call people out. But all I would say is this. If you're somebody that sold your ticket tonight and you're a Knicks season ticket holder and you've had season tickets for any amount of time and you've seen some bad years, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Here's the problem. When they force this to a game seven, you're going to show up Monday night, are you not? That's not a good look. I'm sorry. And I know we shouldn't go after people like that, but I'm sorry. You have to be there tonight.
Well, I understand someone who says, look, these tickets are very, very expensive. I got to make my money sometimes.
I get that, too.
And I'll pick my spots on the game I go to. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm in the building tonight. I made my money. I feel good. I'm going to tonight's game. But if you sold this game in the last 24 hours, you didn't sell it for that reason. You sold it because you're down 3-1, and you may not want to be in the building if the season ends tonight.
Right.
And that's a different mentality than just trying to get some money back.
It's kind of like you're quitting on the season. You're quitting on the postseason.
Yeah.
And you don't believe.
Well, the warning that's so dangerous, Teak, is as good as this roster is, as well-run as this franchise is, because Leon Rose has done a great job since he's taken over, sports features a you-never-know factor. And one thing we don't know is if the Knicks will ever be in this position again.
Right.
It took 25 years for that to get back to an Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not telling you it's going to take another 25 years, Teague, but it could take 10.
Yeah, and by the way, if they're going to win this series, you know what? It's going to start tonight. It's going to start with an epic performance at the Garden. So why would you not want to be there?
I wonder if you are a Red Sox fan, and I hate to bring that up. I know it's a sore subject for a lot of Yankee fans, but if you're a Red Sox fan, who's a season ticket holder in 2004, and game four is at Fenway Park. You just lost 19-8. You're down 3-0. If you decided I'm out, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see the Yankees sweep me in my building. I'm going to sell game four, and I'm going to sell game five. I'm going to sell both these games. And you did. Do you regret it all these years later? Because you could have seen the beginning. You could have seen Dave Roberts. You could have seen Big Papi. You could have seen Bill Miller. Like, you missed all that stuff because you basically said, you know what? I don't want to be there for my worst. And I would bet that Red Sox fans do regret that. Mm-hmm. And that's the risk you have tonight. Because if the Knicks win, and let's say they win in some kind of magical, amazing way, and then they come back, it's possible you will have missed an incredible moment in New York Knicks history.
You can't look at it like the end. You have to look at it like the beginning. I would love to go tonight. I'm not allowed to go. I've basically been told I'm not allowed to go.
Correct.
Not by the Knicks, but by Knick fans, and I understand that.
Yes.
That's part of leadership. You got to know when to pull back. I am not going because I've seen some losses recently.
Oh, no, you can't go.
I got it.
The overwhelming response I'm getting from people is you can't take Tommy. That is unfair. So I did the next best thing. I'm going tonight, and I'm taking a coalition member. So I decided to go the other way. But you know why that's going to benefit?
Terrible.
No, I'm not terrible. You want to know why?
Terrible.
You know why, T? You're going to apologize to me tomorrow. You know why?
Why?
If the Knicks win, the bad juju of Net fans entering Madison Square Garden will have led you to victory.
Right, but then we're going to have a dilemma for Game 7.
What's
because
that?
Tommy now thinks he can go.
No.
And what happens if they start poorly? You're going to kick him out at halftime?
Well, he can't go to Game 7. Like, if that's the case, I think Knicks fans are going to beg that I go back with another coalition member to Game 7. So he's out no matter
what. But wait,
hold
on a second.
Your postseason run is over,
Tommy.
Why,
though? I had him in 7. That was the original prediction. I never wavered on it.
He did say 7.
He did, but he's been in the building 3 times this year, and the Knicks are 0-3 during this playoff run.
But let's say they had won those, then he would lose his prediction. They would have swept.
Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, great show. I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm not as pessimistic as you, Evan, so I just want to explain why, okay?
Good.
So, thank you. So, coming into the season, I thought that Knicks were 70% whole. And, you know, the 30%, of course, was lacking on the bench. And Knicks used to have a super bench, and it's one of their weaknesses. So, I think now from top to bottom, Indiana, on the whole, is a more well-rounded team. Now, this is where I think where your logic is flawed, Evan.
Go.
I've seen the Mets gradually build their team. They won it in 1986. I've seen the New York Giants gradually build their team, and they've won multiple times. You don't have those experiences. You just have maybe they'll get there, they get close, and they fizzle out your teams, and you're scarred beyond belief. So you're like coming in with like this pessimistic attitude. This is the beginning of something for these Knicks. Even the Pat Riley Knicks, when they were building, it took them a while to get to the finals. Unfortunately, they didn't win, but I watched those guys year after year build and build and get better and better.
Yeah.
So my experience as a sports fan is much different than yours. That's why I'm more hopeful.
No, I get that. And your experience is different, and you're right, I'm scarred. But there are some differences I do want to point out. I think the way the NBA is built right now is you don't have that much time.
No.
And I don't think the Knicks are building for the next 5 years with this roster. Eventually, you're going to have to pay guys like Mikal Bridges, and it's going to become more difficult to sustain, or you're just going to change the roster, which is certainly on the table, that there would be major changes during the offseason, and then you're almost resetting what you're building towards. So I don't think, like, you brought up examples, and let's be fair about what you brought up. You brought up a baseball example from 40 years ago. You brought up a basketball example from 30 years ago. Well, the NBA in 2025 is not the NBA in the early 90s. It's not Major League Baseball in the mid-80s. So I think that's the flaw in your argument that, yes, as a fan, you witnessed that, but I don't think that's the trajectory of this Knicks team. I think when you're close, you have to win it.
Yeah, well, I also think that the Knicks and their organization, Leon Rose in particular, they get that. And it's why you make the Dante Julius Randle trade for Cat this offseason, because you know that developing over the next 3 to 4 years with those guys, just it didn't make sense. And so what he's talking about in development, that happens almost in the snap of a finger these days. It has to, because your window is not 5 years.
It's shorter.
It's much shorter. I mean, maybe it's 3. And when you have older players, you know, 28, 29, almost 30, like the Knicks do, it probably makes it even less than that.
Well, and I also think what's been very difficult about this series, and I remember talking about this back in February, and that was, hey, one of the issues the Knicks are going to run into was that their two best players are defensive liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we all knew that. It's not breaking news. It's not new. It was always there. You knew it upon the trade. Like, okay, their two best players are defensive liabilities.
Yes.
It had not been absolutely exposed until this series. It was not exposed in the Boston series. It wasn't exposed in the Detroit series. It wasn't exposed during the regular season. It has become, like, if you're ranking the issues with this Knicks team, their number one issue is defense. I mean, clearly, they haven't defended at a high enough level, and it falls on a lot of people's shoulders. Mikal Bridges hasn't defended well enough. OG Anunoby's had his issues. Josh Hart was abysmal and should have been benched in Game 4. But all that's true, but the overriding issue may just be, well, yeah, a lot of the time, 40% of the guys on the floor can't defend me.
Right.
And that's not something that changes necessarily next year or the year after that.
No, it's not. I mean, Jalen Brunson's still going to be the same. You know what I mean? OG is going to be a year older. Cat's going to be, you know, he's a presence down there, but he's not a rim defender defensively. And sometimes he gets lost in whatever scheme they're running. So they're going to be the same. So when you talk about these windows and you think about what happens if they lose this game tonight, it's not going to be wholesale changes, but you got to do something different because all the other teams are going to be getting better. And who knows if Indiana has actually reached their peak. You know what I mean? We don't know what Boston's going to do, but Boston's likely to reset. But who knows? They have a heck of an executive in Brad Stevens at the top of the organization. So all of these teams are going to get better. And if you just stay the same, you've gotten worse relative to everybody else.
Pete's in Seaford. How you doing, Pete?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
The Knicks have to come out, obviously, desperate, not just tonight, but for the rest of the series, assuming the series goes beyond tonight. But, you know, I've called this station a couple of times after the first round and the second round to praise Tibbs for the way he outcoached Bickerstaff and Joe Mazzulla. But it's just been just the opposite this series. And what he's shown us is that all of the stubbornness that everyone had in the back of their minds his whole tenure has really revealed itself in the worst possible way at the worst possible time. And I'm sorry, if the Pacers are celebrating advancing to the finals, in my opinion, to have the right to lose in 5 games to the Thunder, but nonetheless, if they're celebrating tonight at MSG, I think Tibbs has to be on the street on Monday morning. I don't see any other way around it.
I think the difference between losing in 5 and losing in a hard-fought 7-game series is those difficult discussions amongst Knicks fans. Yes. It's going to happen weeks at a time. It's going to be, should this coach come back, and should the core of this roster remain the same? And I think after they beat Boston, it would have been nuts to think it would come to that, that discussion would be going on. But it is going to be a legitimate discussion if they don't survive tonight at Madison Square Garden.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau is under fire as that last caller just said, because you know you look where they are. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and if you're looking objectively, He's taken this team steps every single year, whether it was Leon Rose reconstructing the team, whether it was getting the best out of Julius Randle, whether it was, you know, making Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson this great combo with DiVincenzo last year and I Hart. Like, he's a good coach. And so if you fire him, what are you doing? Right, what's next? And I think that question might be harder than the one of whether or not to fire Tibbs.
JR in Somerville, how we feeling, JR? Got some confidence tonight?
I got confidence, but your energy, first off, this is the reason why Knicks fans need to be on afternoon drive. Your energy has been horrible for today, talking about the Knicks championship window. Let me tell you something. Giannis, KD, Boston, Minnesota, these guys got to make moves this summer, and the Knicks need to be right in line offering any one of these contracts along with it. You know how the league works. They fall like dominoes, okay? Mm-hmm. When one move happens, a lot of moves happen. So don't put this woe-is-me thing out there for Knicks fans.
JR, this roster, I said you can attempt to make wholesale changes. When have I denied that isn't something they would try to do, especially if they lose tonight?
It doesn't need to be wholesale, but we're not talking about that today.
It would be. Well, first of all, hold on. You're the one who called up, and the first thing you brought up was trading for Durant or Giannis. So don't put this on me.
I didn't start talking about that. And then there's going to be dominoes that fall in after that. It's Memphis, okay, across the board.
I don't understand what you're bitching about. Like, I just told you the truth, which is if you lose game five at home...
You're telling the Knicks fan how to feel if we lose tonight.
I'm telling you how I would feel. If you disagree with me, tell me you disagree with me. The problem is you don't. You know I'm right.
I disagree completely. Because this is, as a Knicks fan, it's been horrible for 20-something years. You know, the minute we lose in any one of these series, our social media people, our kids, will be out there putting jerseys on every single player telling you that they're going to be on the Knicks. We can move on, Evan. It's not something we're going to be going crazy about this. But I didn't call for that. I called for one guy, and that's Mike Cal Bridges. And this is a battery in your back call tonight. What Carlisle's doing to this guy is he's making him dribble crazy. All right, and I need for him to play like a point guard tonight. I need him to get in the paint and spray the ball. The guy has not taken a single three after dribbling three times in the playoffs. Okay,
but JR, do you believe that can happen? Do you believe that he will do that?
He has to. I do believe it because I believe that Thibodeau talks very strongly to these guys in film sessions, and it needs to be done. The whole thing with the turnovers and everything is that the second ball handler on this team is Mikal Bridges. So, yeah, in the offseason, the changes need to be made. And the change needs to start tonight with Mikal Bridges.
Now, the first thing Mikal Bridges needs to do is he's got to defend Tyrese Haliburton a hell of a lot better than he has over the last few games. Start right there. Because the biggest issue with this team, the biggest issue in this series, the biggest issue in Game 4, you can bring up the turnovers. That was a problem, too. They don't defend. They miscommunicate all the time. It's like guys don't know their assignments. And Mikal Bridges, who's here specifically for his defense, he's one of the better wing defenders in the league, has not defended Tyrese Haliburton hard enough. No. That's one of the biggest issues.
No, it is the biggest issue. But, I mean, what JR is talking about is right. There needs to be a secondary ball handler, and there just isn't. At least not someone that you trust in the way that you trust Jalen Brunson. And being a ball handler is obviously distributing and setting guys up, but it's also just being able to create. Like, who else on the Knicks can create? And that's what you need Mikal to be able to do, is create your own shot, get to your spot, and take your shot confidently. Because nobody else is going to be able to do that for you other than Jalen Brunson. And if he's down, sitting down for whatever reason, whether he's in foul trouble late or whether it's just to get a blow early on in the game, you got to be able to create and be assertive. And that's what the Knicks aren't doing. It's what the Pacers are doing. All those guys are being creators. The Knicks are not. They're relying on one guy.
Let's go to Mike in Greenwich. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Going back to your conversation earlier about losing Game 5 tonight, coming back, being bemoaning all offseason. So what if we bring it into Game 7, we still lose? But I think that even with the loss, the Knicks' run this year has brought a lot of, like, reinvigoration to the fandom in New York City. Would you guys agree?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. They've electrified this city, no doubt.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's been buzzing. I'm there every day, and I feel like everyone's just buzzing about the Knicks. So I think, like, you know, they had a good season. I think that we're going to come in, we're going to win tonight because there's no reason that we should be losing this game. And I think that we have a chance still.
Oh, they definitely still have a chance to win this series. Like, the NBA has taught us in this postseason that, A, home court advantage doesn't mean anything, mm-hmm. and that this Nick roller coaster ride doesn't make sense. I mean, think about where this roller coaster has gone. They couldn't close out the Pistons in a Game 5 at Madison Square Garden, but then they go on the road, they close them out. They win two games in Boston, two games they're trailing by 20 in. They lose Game 3, in which they look like they have no shot. They get blown out early in Game 4. Then they come back and beat the Celtics again. Then they lose a Game 5. Then they destroy them in a Game 6. Like, everything about this run has been a violent roller coaster. So I don't think anything should surprise anybody.
Right.
A three-game winning streak is not impossible. I think the question is, can the Knicks consistently defend enough for three straight games against a high-octane offense that plays at a pace they can't keep up with?
That's an interesting analogy you used, a violent roller coaster. Because having kids that want to go on roller coasters, you get on them and you're like, okay, that was not very fun, but it kind of was. And so you get these sharp turns and you don't know what to expect. This is exactly what it feels like watching the Knicks. You don't know what to expect.
The question is, does the roller coaster end with everybody smiling?
Uh-huh.
Or does it end in some kind of crash where we're all dead?
Well, not even that. It's just more like, I'm never getting on that thing again.
Right.
I refuse.
Here's the thing. We'll all get on this roller coaster again. Because as a sports fan, we'll always ride it, baby.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And why Yankee fans, last night you won another game. You won 1-0. But Ron Washington may have started something that could change everything as the Yankees move forward. Plus, Juan Soto struggles, so we'll mix in some baseball along with getting you ready for Game 5 tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.